Amid the rousing cheers, shouts and paws, pounding tables, Tyria was escorted to her place. She was seated between Lord Mandoddle and Cuthbert, flanked by Captain Grandon and some very senior-looking officers. When the noise had reached deafening proportions, the brazen boom of a big gong echoed through the mess. With the exception of those on top table, every hair shot bolt upright in rigid silence. An old colonel, raked thin and sporting long drooping mustachios, waited until he received the Badger Lord's nod. Then in a wobbly voice he announced,
"Gentle beasts, you may be seated."
There followed the resounding clatter of benches and chairs. Then the customary din broke out afresh. Good-humoured ribaldry went back and forth as the orderlies wheeled out laden surfing trolleys.
"I say, chaps, who's that beautiful gal sitting next to his lordship, what?"
"Well, it ain't you, Mobs. You could big and well turn apples sour by just looking at 'em."
"Oh, go and boil your fat head, Gribsy. You've got no eye for beauty at all. Ha! Your motto is if you can't eat it, then it ain't nice."
"Give your blooming jaw a rest, Mobs, old lad. What's for dinner, cookie old thing?"
The supply master sergeant, a huge hare with a broken nose, glared at the offender.
"Right quest, and a short whistle if you call me cookie again, Mileno."
A stout lance corporal chuckled.
"That's the stuff to give him, cookie. You tell the blighter."
He withered under the sergeant's icy stare.
"You've never tasted my lance corporal pie, have you? One more remark from you, young flimmer, and I'll send a slice home to your mother."
The food was excellent, and the portions enormous. Tyria was relieved to be sitting by Cuthbert, who devoured everything she nudged to within his paw range. Not a crumb that came near the gluttonous hare was spared.
"Good sir, what? The old mountain pie, you tasted that in a blinking badger's age, what?"
He dealt rapidly with summer salad, baked mushroom and turnip flan, cheese and carrot turnover, barley and leek soup, and a plate of potato and chestnut pasties. Licking crumbs from his whiskers, Cuthbert began chivying the servers for dessert. Lord Mandoddle eyed Tyria with obvious approval.
"I was right. You are truly a high queen, Tyria Wildlock."
With a downcast gaze, the otter maid mumbled,
"I'm a queen without a crown. I failed miserably at that wreck today, sir. It was a disaster."
Her paw was enveloped by the big badger's own.
"Nonsense. You were very brave. Just the thought of you down there in the dark depths, battling with a monster, made my blood run cold. I don't mind telling you, it's not a thing I would have fancied attempting, but you went to it without a second thought. Mark my words, miss, that was the true sign of a leader, a real warrior."
When dinner was over, the usual din of rowdy ballads and loud jokes broke out. This was halted by a big battle-chested hare. Colour Sergeant O'Crag had a thunderous voice.
"Attention! Silence in the ranks, ye kabooms! Me Lord Mandoro has the floor! Sir!"
Staying seated, the badger made his announcement.
"At noon tomorrow, Major Blaindale Frank will be sailing for Green Isle. His purpose, to establish Lady Tyria Wildlock in her rightful position as queen there."
Tyria looked about to say something, but a forbidding glance from Captain Grandon bade her to hold any questions.